Thessalonians. We've gotten over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. This morning I'm going to talk to you about hope. The Lord said that there remaineth these three: hope, faith, and charity, or hope, faith, and love. He said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. There remaineth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Hope is something that, quite frankly, at times you look at it and you say, well, you got faith, I understand that. You got love, and I understand that. But what's this hope? You have faith, but what's this hope? Well, it's, I suppose the best way to describe it is in terminology like this. There's good hope, and there's bad hope. And if you look at it in terms of good hope, as opposed to bad hope, it's a lot easier to understand the kind of hope you're supposed to have. So I hope I can take these scriptures this morning and impart what I'm talking about to you in an understandable way. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. That's good hope, as opposed to bad hope. The important thing is it comes through grace. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we come to him as sinners, and the light of God has shined in our hearts. God's Holy Spirit gives us an opportunity to put our faith in Jesus. And if we put our faith in Jesus, as the Holy Spirit convicts us, and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we will call upon his name, and we will be saved. After we're saved, we start to learn about the love of God. You cannot know the love of God until after you have received his Son as your Savior. It's very difficult for a lost person to understand the love of God, because all he sees is an awareness of sin in his or her life, a fear of hell, and the need for a Savior. But after he or she receives Christ as their Savior, then they can start to understand the love of God. So before I get to good hope, which comes through grace, just like faith comes through grace, I'll talk a little bit about the love of God, and then I'll work into the good hope. The fact that it's everlasting is what makes it really good. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If Jesus had paid the price for my sins, and if when I came to him, I was cleansed from all unrighteousness, and then at that point in time, having been cleansed from all unrighteousness, having had his righteousness imputed to me, if at that point in time I instantly died and went to heaven, that would be great. But we live on in flesh afterwards. And so after we're saved, it isn't long till we sin again. Well, if the salvation he gave me was at that moment in time, and I was his child at that moment, and then a little while later on I did something bad, and didn't confess it, then I could die and go to hell. That's bad hope. That's bad hope. That's terrible hope. But by the grace of God, He's given us in His description of what He did for us when He saved us, He's informed us it's by His love. And He's given us certain promises that give us a good hope, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a good hope. You say, but Brother McElmurray, what if you? But Brother McElmurray, what if you do this? Brother McElmurray, what if you do this? What if you do this? What if you do this? Forget that. He has given me everlasting life, and I will never perish. That's a good hope. That's the best hope. If I could do anything to lose my salvation, that would be a bad hope. But He gave me the hope I have through grace, just like He gave me salvation by grace through faith. Luke 21:18. This is a promise He made to the members of the First New Testament church. And He wasn't talking about physical death, because just before this He had told them a lot of them were going to die in that period of time where the persecution, and they did. He said, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. He's talking about their physical hair, their physical life, their physical existence. He said, don't worry, you'll never perish. You have everlasting life. Not one of your spiritual hairs or assets will perish. It's a promise. That's good hope. If you have problems and believe you can lose your salvation, man, that's bad hope. You were saved through grace. This hope we have comes through grace. Romans 5:11. And hope maketh not ashamed. Suppose I could lose my salvation. Suppose if I took the Lord's name in vain when I was working on the car, remained in my frustrated condition, jumped in it, got in the car, roaring down the road to see how it worked, and I had failed to hook up a gas line properly, and suddenly the whole thing exploded, and I'm gone. Well, I'm going to be ashamed in hell forever. But this kind of good hope that God gives us, we'll never have to be ashamed of our placing our faith in Him, because it's eternal, goes on forever. It's not based on works before or after or doing. It's based on grace and your acceptance that Christ loved you and gave Himself for you. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If I thought that I committed adultery on my wife, then as I'm leaving the scene of the crime and I get in a car, I'm driving down the road, and suddenly it veers off the road and I run into a tree and I'm killed. If I thought I went to hell, man, that's the worst kind of hope. That's bad hope. But my salvation is based on the love of God. It's based on grace. And good hope is through grace. It's based on grace. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to cast me into hell. Now, I'm going to have a price to pay at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to lose rewards over what I've done. But I have a good hope. A bad hope is when you don't have any hope in the Lord. Oh, you hope that if you can live a good life after you've received Him as Savior, maybe you can go to heaven. Maybe you better examine to see if you've ever really trusted Him. Maybe you better examine to see if your faith is totally in Him. If you're saved, you can understand what I'm saying. If you're saved, you can feel ashamed because you have doubted your salvation. You say, Brother Michael Murray, did you ever doubt your salvation? Well, I doubted it all the time when I was a young man. My flesh still doesn't believe there's a God. You say, well, mine does. Well, that's funny. The Bible says your flesh can't believe. The Bible indicates your flesh is an abomination to God. If you're sitting there and telling me that you are absolutely positive there's a God and your flesh believes that, you're lying. Because your flesh does not believe there's a God. You may brainwash yourself into believing that you do, but it's your soul that believes. It's your soul that's saved. And your flesh perishes because it's corruptible. But the hope I have is of the soul. And my flesh will perish. It will either change at the rapture or rot in the grave. But I have a good hope. My soul knows the love of God. And the more I learn of the love of God, I have a hope that's not ashamed of what I believe. And if I perish, I perish. And I do not fear what men will do to me, because I know what love was shed abroad in my heart. And that kind of love is an everlasting consolation and a good hope. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I was an ungodly man in body, soul, and spirit, having no spiritual union with God whatsoever. So were all of you until you were saved. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If Christ died for me when I was an ungodly sinner, and now that I have become his child, and now that I belong to him and I am in spiritual union with him, do you think that same love that saved an ungodly, wretched sinner is going to cast me out into hell and separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? If you do, you have a bad hope. I have a good hope. It's based on the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Being much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him if we continue to maintain good works, come to church 3 times a week, partake of the Lord's Supper, do the sacraments and the rosary. Being much more then, Christ died for you when you were a corrupt, rotten sinner just like me. Then now that God has shined in your heart, and now you've been cleansed of sin, imputed the righteousness of Christ, do you really think that he's going to take that back and take away your salvation? What kind of reasoning is that? But God commendeth his love toward us in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. I don't know how many times I've been to funerals, particularly Church of Christ, where they stand up there for an hour and say, oh, what a good old woman she was. If anybody makes it, surely she will. She took the Lord's Supper every Sunday. She was always there. She gave. She was a faithful wife to her husband. She loved her children. If anybody makes it, surely she will. Well, I don't doubt that she loved her children. I don't doubt that she was faithful to her husband. I don't doubt that she did a lot of good things for a lot of people. But if you're not justified by the blood of Christ, you're not going to be saved from wrath through him. Because that woman, for all her good works, is still just as separated from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus as she was when she passed the age of accountability. You say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, welcome aboard the train. Welcome above the mass group. Welcome into mass humanity. That's what they all believe. But it doesn't matter what man believes. It's what God believes. And I'm not justified by anything before God except by the blood of his son. And I'm going to be saved from wrath through him because I trust in his blood as the total, complete atonement, propitiation for all my sins. You say, well, I can't believe that. That's because you don't have any faith in God. Your faith is in your own flesh. Your faith is in your own ability to keep what you have. I thank God he did it this way. Why? Because I could never have good hope if my salvation was based on my works. How much do you have to do? If you, an ungodly, wretched sinner headed for hell, if when that was the case, we were reconciled, and we are reconciled to God with the death of his Son, do you think he's going to unreconcile you? We were reconciled to death by the death to God by the death of his Son. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I wasn't saved by the life I live in the flesh. I was saved by the life he lived in the flesh. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you ought to do good works. Amen. But it should be Christ in me that does them. I should merely follow his leadership. You say, well, you ought to come to church regularly. I do. But it's because of Christ inside me who leads me to do that. You say, you ought to try to do what God wants. I do. But it's Christ in me that does it. I have a good hope. If it was based on what I did, and it didn't follow this book, I wouldn't have any hope at all. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this, by whom we have now, right now, received the atonement, the covering, kafar, atonement, reconciliation to God forever. I have a good hope. I don't ever have to worry about going to hell. I have a good hope. My hope has grown by my faith in Christ. And the more my faith has been placed totally in him, the greater hope I have, because he did not fail, he cannot fail, and he never will fail. And I'm in him, and God put me there. I have a wonderful, good hope. I feel sorry for people in other churches that don't have a good hope. They believe Jesus is God's Son. Well, that's great. The devils believe that. They believe that God the Father sent him. The devils believe that. But they don't have any faith in the Son. They have faith in their own ability, believing Jesus died for their sins. They believe now they can do what's right, and God will receive them in heaven. That is a rotten, terrible, unrealistic, bad hope. Luke 21:17. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. They were. This is what he told the first New Testament church members would happen to them after he was crucified. And they were hated of all men for the sake of Christ. But they were able to continue. Why? They had a good hope. They believed all this. They believed that Jesus was not going to allow one hair of their head to perish eternally. They believed they would never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And the hope they had was good because it was based on grace. You don't have a good hope if it's not based on grace. One of the expressions I've heard many times, and I've even heard it from some missionary Baptists, thank God not very many, but I've heard them, I've said, well, you're going to make it to heaven, right? I hope so. That's a bad hope. That's a rotten hope. That's a corrupt hope. That's no hope. If you hope you're going to make it to heaven, you got a rotten, corrupt, ungodly hope. If you know you're going to make it to heaven, you've got a good hope. If you don't know it, do you really have faith in Christ? Or is your faith in yourself? It allowed these men to continue. If you don't believe in securing the believer, your hope is corrupt and not pleasing to God. Because hope is by grace, just as surely as faith is by grace. Romans 8:37-39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I thank God he put that in there. If it wasn't for the love of God that shined in my heart, if it wasn't Christ living inside me, if this hope I have in him is not firm and secure because it's by grace through his works and efforts, then I am not a conqueror. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, because he not only allowed me to have faith by grace, after I have stepped into this grace, I have access to a good hope by knowing how secure I am in him. Well, just how secure am I? This is a good hope. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing. That's pretty inclusive. And to make sure he got everything in there, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I have a good hope. See, my salvation is by grace. My hope is by grace. That means unmerited favor. My hope is not based on what I can do, have done, will do, or shall do. Nor is my faith. Nor is my love. All three are based on what Jesus has done, is doing, and shall do. He's the only good thing about me. And all honor and glory belong to him. And my good hope is that nothing shall ever be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You believe you can lose your salvation? Be honest with yourself. You have a rotten hope. It's not worth a dime. John 5, 21, 28. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. A lot of people believe in God the Father. A lot of people believe there's one God. You can go to a Masonic lodge and they all believe in God. You can be an Arab of the Islamic faith. You can be a Catholic. You can be a missionary Baptist. You can be a Buddhist. You can be any kind of a religionist and believe there's a God, and you can belong to the Masonic Lodge. You say, that's not true. Yes, it is true. A lot of the symbols they have are from Islam. At least some of them are. And they believe there's a God. That's not going to save anybody, just believing there's a God. And just because you believe that Jesus was his son, that's not going to save you either. You're going to have to be saved by grace through faith. You're going to have to put your faith in the Son. All these people that believe there's a God, you think they're going to heaven? They head straight for hell. The devils believe there's one God, and they tremble. They believe Jesus is his Son. They're headed for hell. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. If Jesus makes me alive, and tells me I'll never perish, and tells me I've been passed from death unto life, then I know it's true. And by grace, I have received that hope. And that's a good hope. Any other hope is a bad hope. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. He means what he says. God, Jesus, is the one who's going to decide whether you go to heaven or hell. And it's based on what Jesus said. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come unto me, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's an eternal rest. It's not temporary. If this were a temporary thing where Jesus saved you and then left the rest up to you, that's a rotten hope, a corrupt hope, an ungodly hope, not of faith, but of the flesh, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Some people say, well, as long as you believe there's a God, you're all right. Wrong. You've got to honor the Son. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. He that honoreth the Son honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ was the living Son of God whom he sent, and you've got to believe that he died on a cross for your sins, and that that was the payment for all of your sins, past, present, and future, and that he was the living sacrifice, that when his blood and his body was offered, God said, I will accept this man's sacrifice. And when he accepted this man's sacrifice, just as in Adam we all sinned and inherited the nature, by this man, Jesus, the last Adam, when we trust in him, God imputes to us his righteousness, his blood, his life, and it is the complete atonement. And then you have a good hope. If you have your faith scatterloaded all over the place, you don't have any hope. You may think you do. And if what I'm saying here takes the fire out of you, that's a pretty good indication that you don't have it. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present, indicative, active, everlasting life, forever. If you have it, and I have it, it's everlasting. I know I'm going to heaven. You say, well, what's that? That's hope. To think you're going to heaven is not hope. To know you're going to heaven by grace, that's the only way you could know it, is a good hope. And shall not come in condemnation. I know I'm never going to be placed under the condemnation of God again. Why? But it's passed from death unto life. I know I'm alive in Christ. I know I sat in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The scripture says so. I know that nothing can ever remove me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus speaking in John 5:25. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Lazarus heard it, was resurrected from the dead. After the resurrection of Christ, many were resurrected in Israel, and the people saw them in the city thereafter. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There's coming a time when all those that are in the grave who died with their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior are going to hear the voice of the Lord. The voice of Christ, the trump of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in him, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. I don't have a thing in the world to be concerned about as far as heaven is concerned. I'm going there. Period. No exception. Because it's totally by grace, unmerited favor of what Jesus did for me. That is a good hope. To say, well, Christ died for me on the cross. I've been saved. But now he expects me to do this, 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 or I'll go to hell. Well, let me tell you something. The only reason you're doing it is because you're afraid, you're afraid, you're afraid, you're afraid, you're afraid, you're afraid. And God wants you to do what you do because you love, 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 love him for what he did. And your acts that you perform for God and your church attendance and you're observing the ordinances correctly and understanding the word of God are all supposed to be based on a desire to please him and to love him because of what he's done. And that's the reason salvation is by grace through faith, and hope is also by grace. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they that hear shall live. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Okay, I was saved by grace. By grace through faith. So I know it's by grace. I know I'm going to heaven. Wherein we stand. I stand in that grace. Well, now I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And how did I develop this hope? The Lord developed it in me. How? It not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. After you get saved, you can go back out in the world, live like hell. A lot of people say, no, you can't do that. Yes, you can. You can go back out, get on drugs, get on dope, turn into a real whoremonger. You can live an ungodly life because salvation is by grace. But you won't have any hope. You'll be miserable all the time. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. If I had never had any tribulation, my hope would never have been developed. But God allowed these tribulations by His grace in order to build up my hope. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, endurance. Staying here for 28 years has taken endurance. And endurance, patience, experience. I've learned by experience that God can do anything. God can do all things. I've learned He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I've learned to have a good hope in Him and to do what He wants and leave the rest up to Him and experience hope. You learn through endurance, endurance through the tribulation. And after the tribulation and God has delivered you from the particular period of trouble you're in, by experience you learn hope. And it's a good hope because you've seen God work. I've seen it. I've seen it in this church. I've seen it in your lives. I've seen it in your actions and your conduct. I've watched God work. That's another reason I have a good hope. I learned it by experience. And once you learn and you see God operate, you just completely lose confidence in yourself and continually go to God in prayer, trusting Him to work the matter out and not trusting on your own competence or wisdom, not violating what the book says, the Bible says, but letting God work. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. This is where it all started 58 years ago. I came to realize that I had no hope. I did not have faith. I was lost, ungodly, headed for hell. Quite a reputation for a 12-year-old boy. But in my mind, there was no doubt that I was going to hell. In my mind, there was no doubt I was a sinner. There was no doubt that Jesus Christ was God's Son. The light of God had shined into my heart. I knew that. And there was no question that God had sent Him in my heart. As the light of God shined in my heart, and I came to realize that, in absolute sheer desperation, I acknowledged what I was. That was no problem. And asked Him to save me and deliver me from what I was. An ungodly sinner headed for hell. And He did what He said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that? That's what a saving faith is. When you see yourself as a helpless, lost sinner, and you finally decide, I'm going to trust Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only one who can save me. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. As I've said so many times, I can't save you. That's good. This church can't save you. That's good. Nobody in this world can save you. That's good. The best thing of all is, there's no way under heaven you can save yourself. That just leaves you Jesus. If you believe that He's the living Son of God, that He died for your sins on the cross, He's alive, He'll hear your prayer. Ask Him in these next few moments to save you, a sinner, and deliver you from His Father's condemnation. Heavenly Father, the older I get,